What is my next challenge in daring to be human?
How do I connect with life?
How can I let go of my need for fixed answers in favor of aliveness?
How do I live free from the experiences that shaped me?
How can we be the change the world needs right now?
Join us weekly for stony conversations about life.
It is our mission to allow life itself to reveal to us the answers. Welcome to Chasing Thoughts.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Chasing Thoughts. How you doing, Keith?
I'm pretty good. How about you?
Pretty good.
Nice.
So I'm excited about today because if you don't watch this show all the time, you might not know that what Keith and I do is show up not knowing anything with a topic to try to find some answers and through the process of discussion, unveil bigger truths than we currently know. And this topic we're talking about today, I need a bigger truth on.
Yeah.
So what Keith, I'll speak for myself and then you can share your experience, Keith. So this is what it's like to be Mindy. I have a fire hose of ideas that is huge. I have notebooks and napkins and things written everywhere. I have 1,000 screenshots on my phone. I have 500 voice memos to myself on my ship. I am always filled with ideas of videos I want to make, courses I want to write, things I want to do. So there's that piece. Then when I actually sit down and do work, I'm pretty proficient at working. I have great writing skills. I have great editing skills. I can produce most of what I want to produce. The middle section of how to get this fire hose narrowed down so that I actually can produce and do produce something, I have no idea about. That is such a mystery to me, and I am struggling with it so much. So that's sort of how I would describe it. What's your experience?
Yeah, I resonate with that so much. So I do a similar thing, except with papers. I don't know why I got into this, but someone years ago had like one of these pads and just like all their notes were on it and none of the pages were ripped out like I'm doing. And I was like, that is the coolest thing. So when I went to college, instead of getting a notebook and stuff, like I just had these.
Yeah.
And I loved doing that. But these are all my to-do lists that I've created that I never get to because I freeze.
Yes.
You know, because to me, everything, you know, people say like, well, figure out what's the priority. And my mind immediately goes everything.
Yes.
You know, like, so I want to continue with my classes. I got to post on social media. I want to edit videos, especially like getting into like long form videos and diving into YouTube. I want to start a thing for merch because I think I have like a great idea for stuff that I can start selling that aligns with the person that I am. And in my mind, I'm like, okay, everything is the priority. And then I sit on my couch and like watch Impractical Jokers or, you know, stuff that I've watched like millions of times, or scroll. And then by the time I get the motivation to work, I have like an hour before I got to stop and do something else.
Yeah.
So yeah, that, like you said, that middle portion, like getting from point A to point B, I was lost. And I had a weird experience the other day. And I almost wonder, is this going to lead to that answer, which is really cool.
What was it?
So I was sitting in my backyard. It was a busy day. I had to start going to PT because something's up with my rotator cuff and stuff. And I've been putting it off for so long because of all that freeze and all that I had to do. Like, I didn't want to take another 2 hours out of my day twice a week to go to PT to, you know, where I could be, you know, working, which I never end up working anyway. So, but still, I couldn't do that 2 hours. So it finally got to the point where I was like, wasn't sleeping, and my shoulder got so weak that I would pick up the coffee pot and it would just drop. Like I just could not hold it up. And so I started going, and I got home and I was feeling that anxiety. So I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna smoke because that always gets me like laser focused. And then I'm gonna go in and work. So I went out back, I was just sitting in the shade of my tree and smoking. And this weird thought came to me. I want to try to make this mysterious. So I'll tell you the weird thought, but I won't tell you what it is yet. And then as I went through that and just sort of let my mind travel down this wormhole, I really felt like I was on to something important for me, but I didn't know like where it fit. And until we started talking today, I'm like, I wonder if this is where it fits. But then the weird thing, and this is cool because this all goes about meaning, and we can put the meaning on whatever, like our own experiences. And it doesn't mean like, oh, this is truth or not, but it's the meaning that we give it. And that's what holds the power. So all of a sudden, as I'm sitting there, this falcon comes swooping down, and we're not like, we're suburbs. So normally I see him 100 feet up or whatever, just circling and stuff. But he was like, I was sitting down and he was eye level with me, and he was about 10 feet away,
Oh, that's cool.
skimming, like right over the top of my neighbor's fence. And it was like focused so much on this little path in between the fence and these trees. And then it landed. And it kept going down. And then I heard this squirrel like starting to chitter and stuff. And I was like, oh, poor squirrel. But I was happy that the falcon got something to eat. But as I was sitting here like waiting to log on, I was looking at that falcon feather that I found in the woods after one of my mushroom walks. And this was one of the things that it was a moment where a new belief system kind of took hold. And I found this falcon feather, and so I have it like right here. And I looked it up, and it says, so these feathers represent speed, movement, and soul healing. And it can represent honor, trust, strength, wisdom, power, and freedom. And for me, like what we're looking for is freedom. We're looking for the freedom to be able to follow that passion without whatever that is, that fear that is holding us back from that. And I was so just now as I was thinking this, like, and of course, stoned up, I was like, ooh, that falcon actually has a meaning. It wasn't just like a thing that happened, like, had a meaning.
It's so funny. I was cracking up at the beginning of your story because I've been having problems with my rotator cuff. I have like a limited range of motion, and I haven't called the doctor and I haven't taken care of it because what I realized is when I think of things that I need to do, any type of organizational task, like, oh, I need to go over my to-do list. Oh, I should transfer the notes from my phone to my master to-do, or like whatever it is. I should save this to the file instead of saving it to my desktop, which is covered in a million files, right? Something in my brain that says, you don't have time. And I'm like, why is my brain saying that to me? Like, what is my relationship with time that I feel trapped or controlled by time or my perceived limit of time?
Yes, dude. Oh my God, yes.
And I feel like I'm in a constant angst and struggle with time every day. And I wasn't aware of that until I started getting ready for this conversation. And I'm like, what's really going on? And I feel like, honestly, if you ask me in this moment, I'm like, I hate time. I just want all the time in the world. I don't want to have to sleep. I don't want to have to eat. I just want to be able to do what I'm passionate about, right? And I feel like time is my enemy almost. Like I have a real, it's not, I'm not on friendly terms with time right now. And I think that's part of the problem for me.
Yeah, I feel the same way about time, but I never thought of it like in that way. Like I'm not on good terms with time. Like that is beautiful, man. Wow. Yeah, 'cause I always do that. Everything is about time, and I'm always running out. It's from a place of scarcity. And ironically, that was one of the things I loved about Christianity was everlasting life.
Christianity and vampires.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, like, I mean, because I'm thinking, like, I'm gonna travel the universe. I want to go under the ocean. Like, I want to spend years, the hundreds of years, just under the ocean, seeing all this stuff, you know, and just this fantasy of what everlasting life can look like, you know, of course, from my what I want to do. But and that's what I love about consciousness too, because I feel like I'm actually tapping into that, to the idea of eternity, you know, with that. But yeah, dude, time is, why do we look at time like that?
Yeah. I remember there was a time in my life where I guess I used to be more woo-woo or magical. And I used to have a better relationship with time. And I would think, I'm just going to stretch these 2 hours out because I need to get this much done. I'm going to make these. And I did. And I was always successful at it. Like I always was able to create the time I needed. And I don't know if it was going through the executive director thing or my accident, right? People change, I changed, and my relationship with time is now less healthy than it used to be. And I feel like I'm a victim to time. And that could also be getting older, right? In your 20s, it feels like you have a lot of time. In your mid-40s, it feels like you have less. But I'd like to talk about what I could replace that belief system with that's believable to me, so that I can have a better relationship with time every day. So when I tell myself, you don't have time, what do I replace that thought with? Because that thought is always with me. I don't have time to work out. I don't have time to go for a walk. I don't have time to eat right. I don't have time to, make a doctor's appointment.
So, all right, so let me tell you the thought I had, and then in relation to this, your question on what do I change that with?
Yeah.
This is the thing that's interesting to see if we can, like, together, like, kind of pull something out of it.
Yeah.
So as I was sitting there smoking, this thought just, it was like one of those things that just boom pops into your head. And all right, I'm trying to, like, put it into the right words so that it makes sense. But our intention is the observer. That was the thought. So, because we always talk about, like, we are the observers of our thoughts. So we're the you know, that's our consciousness. That's where we are, not the thoughts. The thoughts just come, you know, but I'm trying to change that way of thinking by using my thoughts, the thing that I'm not. So I started, like, wondering, like, nobody can prove consciousness, but what we can do is there's a verse in the Bible, I think it's in James, that says, I will show you my faith through my works. So, like, in our version of Christianity, you weren't saved by works, you were saved by faith, but that faith should lead to works that people could see that, oh, hey, this person is different. You know, I won't go on any Christian rants today because I want to stay on topic. But so, damn it. It's a good strain I had. So my mind just went right down the Christian rabbit hole. So our intentions are observer. So when we keep our focus on our intention, why we're doing all of this stuff, that's when I feel most aligned. And when I'm focused on the time, my scarcity to it, all the stuff that I have to get done, the fact that everything, like, all these bullshit lies that my brain tells me, when I put my focus on that, that's where it becomes overwhelming. But as soon as I go back to the singularity of my intention, everything just, it feels open.
Yeah.
You know, and the cool thing too about, like, I mean, so singularities are found in black holes, and a black hole, no matter the size, the gravity of that is so strong that it can warp an entire universe to live within it. So one of the theories is that we are a universe within a black hole. And then that universe is a universe within, you know, it's just like a whole series of like Russian nesting dolls. So when I look at the intention, that singularity of intention, it opens me up to this infinite space. Almost like I feel like I'm skimming across the top of like that quantum field where everything is and is not at the same time.
Yeah. I love that concept. And going back to the original part that you were talking about, Bruce Lipton describes it like your DNA is like your hardware, your computer, right? Your thoughts is like the programs, the software. And consciousness, your intention, is the operator. So you're operating, you're installing this software of thoughts, and that software of thoughts is building, is turning on the precursor for cancer or keeping the precursor for cancer off, is turning on aging, or right, that you have a relationship with your physical body. So that was interesting because it's similar to what you're saying, is I'm using my thoughts, that's that which I am not, right, to influence my reality. But it's kind of like you have to learn how to operate it. Like, okay, so consciousness says, I want to believe I have abundant time. Time is an illusion. I can do as many things as I want to. That's what I want to believe. And then I have to use my thoughts to actually program my actions, right?
Yeah.
Because what's the big T truth about time? Like, what is the consciousness truth about time? That there's,
and that it's eternal. That
it's eternal. It's forwards and backwards. It's everything, right?
Yeah.
So then, you know, you have your thoughts, and because we're humans, we have things like cynicism and doubt and disbelief that rise up into the melting pot. But I don't know if I told myself time is an illusion, if that would be believable enough for me to reprogram my mindset in the moment when I'm feeling stressed for time.
Yeah. And that's what I did for so long, you know, and then I would get in the same space, and then I would tell myself the same stuff like, okay, I'm not my thoughts. I'm the observer of them. I'm the consciousness. Right. I'm eternal, all this stuff, but nothing changed. And because it was like, it was a belief in my head, but not in my heart.
Right. Yes.
No, exactly. It wasn't a belief that I wasn't connected. It was a belief that I was not connected with. And then when I had that thought of, my brain is going to give me all of these questions. Mm-hmm. And the questions literally don't matter. What matters is the intention. You know, because the intention is why you want to do things and what you're going to do, right? And so connecting to that, why I want to do this, all of it, like, it's just one of those, like, where it feels like my brain makes this wall of doubt. And then instead of breaking through that, I'm just transported onto the other side. And I'm like, oh, wow, I do. I finally connect with, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, it's such
in a the moment thing. Though, like when you're about to distract and scroll on your phone for an hour, like what can you do in that moment? Like what can you tell yourself, or what can I tell myself when I'm in that moment of freeze or overwhelm or ADHD paralysis that helps transport me to consciousness or remind me of a different way?
For me, it became this thing. Cause like yesterday I had, cause that was, what's that, Friday, Thursday. So yeah, that was Wednesday that happened. When I got home from PT too, I did more work than I normally do. After that whole little experience. And then also yesterday I was so productive, but in not in a stressed way, in a very relaxed, open way. And for me, it's just that question of, am I living my intention or am I living my thoughts?
Mm.
And, And like I said, I mean, I know I'm going to have those downs, but it was such a powerful meaning for me that I didn't have any yesterday. And the last, well, 2 nights ago, I started having a lot of trouble sleeping, you know, and it was like my brain just wouldn't shut off. So I think Tuesday night, I finally fell asleep at 8 o'clock in the morning. And then Wednesday night, I fell asleep at 4 o'clock in the morning. But I had so much energy. Like I didn't have the fatigue. I didn't feel like my eyes were closing, or like you said, like you're up for an hour and you're like, oh, it's, you know, I need a nap. You know, I just had this push. It didn't last the whole day because I started, you know, after a while I started getting tired, but I just had this push to just work. But it wasn't work. I was just having freaking fun, man.
Yeah. I love your description of recognizing where you're sitting. Are you sitting in your thoughts and operating from that place? Are you sitting in consciousness? Sometimes I say big Mindy or little Mindy, like when I'm talking to her, and I'm like, little Mindy is struggling here. Big Mindy knows this, but like I'm having a, you know, can I get support in reaching for that if I want to change a habit? So I like that, and I can understand that, and I have my own version of that. It's interesting. You know, I was just thinking about how many things could be an illusion, like these things that control my life. I don't have enough time. I'm too tired, right? I'm getting older now, so I feel this way. I have to, right? And I was just thinking as you were talking of all these not illusions, but they're not real things, right? Maybe time doesn't work the way I think it does. Maybe being tired doesn't work the way I think it does. Maybe, right, all these things that maybe there's even a bigger way of living in this reality that I don't know yet. Like, what if that's true?
I believe it completely is, like, 'cause I mean, one of the beliefs that I have now is that absolutely everything is an illusion. You know,
Yeah.
I'm like an optimistic nihilist, you know, like nothing matters and that is what gives us freedom. You
Yeah.
know, now look, you gotta work, you gotta pay your bills. You know, we live in a society where we have to, you know, conform to the way it works. You know, like I'm personally not one of these dudes that can like I'm going off the grid. Like if I move to Alaska, I'm lasting a month, man. Like, and I'm not even talking about getting killed, but I'll probably get killed by a trout, like trying to fish, dude. Like, it's just not gonna work. But there is a way to live free. I don't know it yet, and I think it's gonna be different for absolutely everybody, and everybody is gonna have to find their meaning, you know, that allows them to like transport onto the opposite side of that struggle. You
Yes.
know, but the more I put my focus on the struggle, even with the idea of trying to figure out why I'm struggling. You know, like if you get sick, whatever, you go to the doctor, like, you know, that show House, you know, like they would have like horrible sicknesses and they would take them like days and days to figure out what it is. And we try to do the same thing with our minds. You know,
Yeah.
our brains tell us some bullshit and then we're like, I gotta figure out why this is happening. But what if we didn't have to?
Right.
You know, what if that just be it is what it is. Like yes, I am struggling with this, but then just focus on intention. You know, because to me, like intention is the action of consciousness.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because what you made me think of is the brain is kind of like, you know, a 2-year-old, right? It says whatever it says whenever it wants to say it. And you reminded me of this comedy bit by Louis C.K. where he talks about how you can't possibly listen to everything your kid says because you're like bending down all the time. Oh, what? Oh, yes, the dog is brown. Okay. Like that's your brain. It's just constantly making judgments and assessments and thoughts and stories. And what if you listen to your 2-year-old or like your 5-year-old? Like, you know how kids are. You would go crazy because you can't listen to that much talking about nonsense. But that's what we do with our own brains, right? Is we let this sort of wild 2-year-old be the boss.
You know, it's so funny, dude, the way you put that, because it, so yesterday, I've been starting a new experiment with myself. So I saw this video by Alan Watts, and he was talking about one of the easiest ways to get into a meditative state is to just close your eyes and listen. And just allow all the sounds to come in. Don't name it. Don't focus on any one sound. And so I was sitting down and I was doing it. And every sound that came, my focus would shoot to that sound, and then thoughts would just start coming. You know, you hear a creak. You know, I was sitting on my back porch. I hear a creak behind me, and I'm like, oh, is that Zoe? You know, does she need to go outside? Like, whatever, you know, and it's just a domino effect. But the longer I did it, the more I was able to like see that it's natural for my focus to go directly to it, but then I can pull it back. And I don't pull it back by, you know, so that I'm taking in more of this umbrella listening, where I'm taking in everything and not connecting with one thing. And by doing that, that's sort of like that thing. I'm not focusing on, I don't want these thoughts about this sound. I'm focusing on back to relaxing into all of the sound. You know, I don't know if that makes any sense whatsoever, but
yeah, I think you're describing two things really well. One, the focus, where you put your focus, that you describe that really well. And also what it feels like to sort of sit back and be the watcher, which is what I hope to be able to live from 90% of my day, right?
Yeah.
If you stay in that place where I had this situation the other day with my stepmom. I was sharing a deep feeling. She responded to me with a lot of advice. What I was hoping was for her to share something about her life and for us to connect, right? That's really what I wanted. But in the moment, I felt so like startled, annoyed, trapped, all my human stuff happening, that I totally wasn't seated in consciousness. But if I would have been, I would have been able to say, thank you so much for this advice, but like, I really want to connect with you. Like, can you share with me something that I would have been able to get what I wanted, but I got hijacked by my reactions. And I feel like that is a big question in my life, is what the F do I need to do? Meditation, exercise, eating, whatever, to be in that state and not be hijacked anymore.
Yeah, that's why, I mean, so many like amazing people always talk about like expectations are the biggest assholes, you know, that we create.
Because being in that space is like, what's happening now? Oh, what's happening now? Right? You're not, that's being present in the moment and being the watcher, which means no expectations.
Right. Yes. Yeah, it's like the difference between just being, experiencing, and controlling. Because that's really what an expectation is. It's a way to control. Like, I'm going to do this, and because I do this, this is going to happen.
Yes, right.
And it doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to happen.
Right.
You know, because even like in your example, like with your stepmom and stuff too, like she could have walked away and was like, I am so glad that I was able to connect with Mindy, because I was able to help her out and give her some advice.
Yes.
So it could have, to her, it could have been a major connection.
Yep.
You know, so that's, oh man, that screws me up so bad so many times.
Yeah. It's interesting, right? How, I guess the products of the mind, expectations, right? Hope, right? Are all also having to be managed in that being the observer of it.
Because
it's, the thoughts and the feelings, especially the feelings, are the ones that I get hijacked by, right? Being annoyed, that'll freaking hijack me in a minute.
Yeah. Oh, dude, so cool. And I hope Sandy doesn't get mad at me for sharing this, because it's like not bad in any way. But she has a very easy startle response. You know, like the other day, we were getting ready. We were just watching TV before bed and stuff. And I was laying on the floor with the dog, and I wasn't being quiet, you know, like, I mean, I was making noise, and she came out of the bedroom and jumped. I was like, oh my God, you know, but because she was thinking about something, so she didn't hear any noise I was making, you know, and then she gets startled so easy. And one of the things that always startles her is if Zoe wants to say hi to somebody walking by her house, she starts barking. And when Sandy's like focused on something, it scares the crap out of her. And that initial thing like snaps, you know, like, you know, shush or, you know, whatever, quiet. And for the longest time, she's been like trying, like, I don't want to do that. You know, I don't want to respond with that automatic frustration. But how do you practice something when you're not in the state where you need to practice it?
Yeah. And your
So,
nervous system, right, is also reacting. So you have a physical component, a mental component.
yeah, and it's creating a physical component as well with like all this crap that's now pouring into your system, you know? So Zoe barks. So it's that shocking bark, and then it's also like when you know she sees somebody coming or like another dog in the neighborhood that like she loves or whatever, and so she'll bark, and if we don't like be, tell her like, all right, quiet, or call her to us, you know, distract her in some way, like she'll just keep going, you know, it'll go on for like 2 minutes, and so I was telling Sandy, I was like, that puts you in the place of frustration, so that's your practice point. Because you don't like react to it with the startle response, which you can't control. I mean, that's happening before you're thinking, but you can control the annoyance.
Once you're aware of it.
Yeah. And she was, I watched her and I was like, I am so freaking proud of you. I love this. Because she was like, Zoe was barking and barking, and she was, and you could tell the tension that she was under, but she would not allow herself to respond. You know, and she's been doing it for like 3 days. I'm like, this is freaking amazing, because that's where she's gonna reprogram that unconscious fight or flight response, where eventually the goal is like Zoe's gonna bark, and it's there's not, or there it still may startle her, but she won't react from a place of frustration with it.
And that is such a beautiful description of the work, right? Like what people don't understand about personal growth and development, or when people say, you got to do the work, that's the work, right? In the moment, changing your thought, changing your feeling 100 times, 1,000 times, whatever it takes to change your mind, your mindset, right? You have the ability to do that.
And maybe that's the problem. Maybe like what I'm looking for is like a fairy godmother to come down and just bippity boppity boo me on the head, and then it's over.
Yeah.
But maybe what my goal should be is not to figure out the why time affects me like this, but you know, like we were talking about, like focus, like that intention, like,
What are the actual reps I need to take every day?
yeah. But when I feel that overwhelm, when I feel that like everything is the priority, be like, amazing, dude, because now it's a time to practice,
Yes.
you know, and to sit down and to slow myself down and to relax myself, focus on doing like a little 5 minute listening exercise, whatever, and then getting to work.
Yeah, that feels really good to me when I imagine myself doing that. Like when I catch myself in that speeding down the road, I don't have enough time, right? Angst to go. Right. Start back at square one in consciousness and come back at it again. Yeah, that feels really good to me. Yeah, I had an interesting thought when you're talking about the Sandy's hyper focus. I can get super hyper focused, right? Of course, ADHD, autism. And I asked myself the question, what if you hyper focused on consciousness and just that's what I want to do? How can I feel more that way? How can I feel more that way? And the answer in my brain was your life would fall apart. Like this huge fear came up. And I didn't realize that that was there for me, that in addition to believing that I don't have enough time, what stops me is this belief that if I followed my consciousness and slowed down in the moment and or meditated, right? If I took things slow, that my life would fall apart. that I have to stay in this sort of busy frenzy feeling. Do you relate to that at all? Is there any version of that in your body?
Yeah, there's I do this all the time with, like, you know, the idea of manifesting, you know, and so I'm like, I want the, you know, I want, I'm going to set an intention, like, this is going to happen, you know, I'm going to put my awareness on it, feel the gratitude for it, and then forget about it. But deep down, there's still that fear, and that fear has become my comfortable place. So even though it sucks, it's become a habit. So the chemicals that produce that, you literally become physically addicted to those chemicals. So living in a state of constant fear, like stepping out of that, I mean, that's stepping through like a shroud, man. You know what I mean? Like, I can't even picture what that's like.
Yeah.
And as you were talking, though, you made me like just think of this thing is, I wonder if the problem is the idea of chasing that consciousness, right? So there's that whole idea of, we are not that which we observe. So since we observe our thoughts, we're not our thoughts, but it goes in reverse as well. So which means we are, period.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to, almost like trying to observe consciousness instead of being conscious.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Because then, like,
it's the brain wanting to do, right?
Yeah.
I heard a funny joke once, which was like, everybody can be enlightened at a moment. So you could be enlightened right now, but your brain doesn't want to accept that, so you aren't. But if you get a book that says, here's the 10 steps to being enlightened, then the brain is like, oh yeah, I can do that. Because the brain likes steps, it likes processes, right? But in the land of, you know, eternal now, you can have it at a moment's notice. There is no time.
Yeah. And that's why, like, some people talk about like sliding into it, sliding out, sliding into it, sliding out, you know. And I don't know, maybe that's the natural state of things, you know. It's another wave function. Instead of being there and staying there. But
yeah, I think for me too, what I might try is adding more love into my relationship with time. So when I have time related thoughts, be like, I'm so grateful that I have so much time, right? Like, I've been given so much time. I've been given so much health, and try to bring some gratitude and love into that, to do my reprogramming. And then also love for that big fear that we talked about that says everything's going to fall apart and I'm going to end up homeless and alone on the street, right? Whatever that core fear is. And just being like, okay, come along, fear. Like, I love you. It's okay. Like, we can go together, and not waiting till it's gone. Just like you said, focusing on where I want to go anywhere. And if this little bugger's got to come with me, that's fine. I just love him, right? And just more acceptance for that, instead of being like, go away. When you're gone, I'll be able to do this, right? It's, I think, lessening the resistance in those two areas of my life might open up a door that I don't know or understand yet.
Yeah, because really what it is, it's our brains trying to protect ourselves. So it's us trying to love ourselves, keep ourselves safe, and, you know, and keep homeostasis, and, you know, not end up on the street.
Yeah. You
know, it is a good thing, you know. Unfortunately, though, like, for me, it's always the question, like, is this going to be a success? And right. And I never defined what that means. You know, does it mean like I'm a multi-billionaire traveling all over and, you know, taking pictures on a private jet, you know, the selfies, you know, all that stuff? Or does it mean like I can travel and go anywhere I want, you know, and still work, you know, like what the hell does even success mean? Like, to me, not to what society tells it is, but to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because you made me ask the question, what's the difference between what I view as success and my dreams? Right? Because my dreams can be huge, right? I love dreaming big dreams. My sister and I were just daydreaming about making enough money so we can both have housekeepers and pay for a housekeeper for my dad. Might seem like a little dream, but that is a beautiful big dream for us, right? But if we don't get to that point, I still find myself successful. Like recognizing that success and my dreams are different. I don't know. I guess I didn't really realize that before.
That's a really good point. Man, that's like grabbing the attention of my brain, just like
Yeah, because
sitting
you don't
there.
want to not have dreams. Like dreams are fun, right? To go after dreams. That doesn't mean it doesn't mean you're unsuccessful if you don't get there. I think keeping the bar for success low and the bar for your dreams high, that's the trick.
Yes. I love that. I mean, dude, our dreams are limited by our imagination, and our imagination is infinite. Like, I mean, everything that is possible we can imagine. I even heard this little thing, like, try to imagine a color that doesn't exist. And your brain is just like, it grinds to a halt. It's like, what the hell? Like, how do you do that? So our dreams should be as massive as the universe is, but success, like what exactly is that? And then the question that's been like sitting on my chest is, what expectations do I apply to that success? Because right at that point, I stop living consciously and I start living by trying to control. And doing stuff like this is about, I mean, even all the lessons I've learned on the mushroom so far, like the one major theme is flow, flexibility, and control is rigid. That's some stuff I gotta get into when I'm Pac-Man.
Yeah, I think what you said about rigid and flexible really speaks to this topic too of like trying to get, we have these huge dream fire hoses, right? But then how do you fit them into a world that is built in boxes, right? Like the world is very square. You have to put this up on this platform and you have to do, right? So somehow all this magic wildness has to be put into sort of a rigid structure. And it's the relationship between those two that I don't understand. Because there's a place for rigidness, right? Like that's why the world works. That's why people make money.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that, especially with like societal standards, is we look at flexibility as being weak. Like if you go and you get a twig off the ground that's very flexible, you know that you're not going to be holding up something heavy with that thing. But then you can go and you can get a tree limb which won't move, and the thing will hold weight, So we have rigidity is strength and flexibility is as weak. But if you look, I mean, just like the ropes that they used to use on the old like ships and stuff made from hemp, and like each rope is then bound like three different ropes. I mean, it's so incredibly flexible. There was still some rigidity in it because of the size of it, but it was incredibly flexible. And can move and sway, and that also helped the strength of it. And it was incredibly strong, like pulling anchors up and all kinds of stuff, like raising sails that the wind and holding sails that the wind is just tearing into. So I think there is a great strength in flexibility. And yet within that flexibility, it's the structure. I mean, so it's like our DNA. Our DNA is what creates is it's within us, and then we have the flexibility to live within this body that the DNA created.
I feel so. I really am a visual person. To understand things, I have to see them in pictures. I don't know why my brain works that way. But when you were talking, I was thinking, I want to imagine myself as like a kaleidoscope. Like, here's all the magic coming in to me, right? And then, like, I'm a kaleidoscope when I put the pretty picture right on the wall or on your eyeball, right? Like, that somehow I've become an alchemist between the magic of the world and, or the magic of the universe and the like rigidness of society and the world I have to live in. And like, I'm a translator, right? That's kind of what I want to learn how to do. That picture makes me feel better about that process.
Yeah.
I want to be a translator for the universe. So I have
I
to figure
love
out,
that. Yeah.
like, doesn't that make me feel differently about it instead of saying, like, I need better executive function or I need this and that? Like,
I
oh,
hate.
I get it. This is hard because I'm translating. The universe is giving me all these ideas and I have to translate them and fit them into this world,
Yeah.
this very human. Of course, that's going to be hard. Like, no wonder I'm struggling with that. That's not an easy task.
No,
Gives me compassion for myself when I think about it like that.
And I hate the clinical definitions of stuff. I know we need them, but I can't stand them. Like it just because
Because that's
it
over here in this very square world that labels everything, right?
right. Even like so, all right, self-care is a very, very important thing. And this is like my own little like thing, but hearing it is like nails on a chalkboard, you know. And I was thinking about it last night. And so we used to have time to relax, you know. Hunter gatherers, like I've said this like a million times, on average work about 4 hours a day, and then it's relaxation, socialization, maintenance, all that sort of stuff, walking. And we used to live like that. Even like the old movies you see, like I mean, cowboys out in the range, like, you know, overlooking the sunset, having time to just sit and just be, you know. And then we got into industrialized, and then we got into this hustle culture, like where if you're not producing something like at work and then have your side hustle and like 18 of them and stuff, like you're wrong, you know. And then it was like, well, The Rock wakes up at 4 a.m. So I'm gonna wake up at 4 a.m. and I'm gonna go to bed at 12 and I'm gonna get 4 hours of sleep and like all this stuff. And so we took something that was natural, we destroyed it, and now we've come up with a new name for it. Say, hey, this is what we got to do. Like, but anyways, that's just my own like pet peeve. I know it doesn't really matter, but like I.
I think that you have a very good point, and I would say to further that point that there is a whole cultural push to be like, oh, well, you don't feel good, you must not be taking care of yourself. Like, go to yoga, have a bubble bath, do this. It's not, hey, these corporations are making too much profit on you and you shouldn't be working that much to where it's your natural right to take a bubble bath, right? Like you're saying, it is our natural right to be, to have time to rest. But
Right.
it's been turned around by capitalism and sold back to us as self-care. And that's fucking disgusting.
That's fucking awesome, dude.
Right.
Yes.
Like,
Yes.
and now you make money off of it, self-care. And it's a bunch of bullshit.
I never thought of like that. That is, jeez.
That's messed up. That's the kind of thing that keeps happening to me is I'll get like a little, I call them a peek behind the curtain, right?
Yeah.
Where I'm like, oh shit, this is what's happening. Like, in this society that I didn't see before. And then you keep seeing more of those. And that's why I always wonder, like, am I going to end up like a weird weirdo living in a trailer like somewhere? Like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Just because I am surprised how much the world is not the place that I think it is.
That's freaking beautiful. Yes. Yeah. And that's what this journey has been. You know, for me, I started this because I couldn't find answers for the PTSD. And that's what it's turned into, seeing that everything that I thought was real and true and how things should be done has all been just a packaged product that I've bought. And it's
Yes.
does nothing for me anymore.
Yes. Yes. I absolutely agree. And now just is the question, how do I escape this? Right? I have all these tendrils, and that's what we're talking about today, right? These beliefs that have been put on us that we got to do more and stay busy and it's time. And that's not what we want to live in. That's not the paradigm that we live in anymore, right? But you still have to extract yourself, and that process is difficult.
Yeah, you know what I keep thinking of is keep going back to trees. I'm big on trees today. But you know we have this, I just love this stream in my backyard. Like right after noon, it casts so much shade. And me and Zoe will just go out there, sit on the grass, I'll smoke, and she'll just lay down and like
So
roll over. Yeah, it's just so cool. And if I like ran into that thing, like I would hurt myself really bad, you know? But if I uncovered its roots, like I've never seen a root system that was like so rigid. Like even the bigger, thicker branches, the roots have
yeah.
like, if I'm like removing a stump or something, like it has a bounce to it. And that's where the tree is fed from. That's where it connects with the mycelium, which it connects it with all of nature.
Yeah.
You know, so, and but the roots are dirty. They're not the prettiest part of the tree, you know, or the shrub or whatever. Like we got our neighbors just planted some Rose of Sharon right on the property line. It's just freaking beautiful. You know, like when it blooms and stuff, like you look at the beauty of it, but it's the roots. And I think that's where, like you said, that's where the work is done. It's in the smallest underground, dirty place that people are not going to see. But the results of that work is going to be the flowering of the tree, and that's going to be the beautiful part.
Absolutely. And so many people are out here trying to construct the flowers, right? And you're like, no, go back this way. It doesn't work the way you think it does. It's these tiny changes down here in the dark that change the color and amount of your flowers.
Yeah. And I think that's going to be what gets us past this, that block is even changing our relationship with that block. You know, when we run into it, once that awareness clicks, we're like, oh, cool, I get to practice this again.
Yeah.
And ritual is so freaking important. You can even create like a little 5-minute ritual so the awareness hits, turn it right into action.
Yeah.
Do that listening exercise, take a couple of puffs, whatever it is, while you're meditating and stuff or whatever, and then just move right into that work.
Yeah. I remember one time when I was in therapy, when I was young, I had a lot of anxiety, and she told me, choose something like touch your earlobe or like pinch your thumb and think of the best thoughts you can every time you do that. And you will literally program your body to feel that way so that then when you're in a stressful situation, you can, do that motion and your body will produce those chemicals and think of those thoughts. And I just remember thinking that was so cool, right? But that's kind of what I hear you saying, like get really intentional about programming. Oh, when I change this thought, I light this candle or I do this thing or I, with the ritual of it to help sink it in and change your mindset faster. And I think that's brilliant because I think that does change your mindset faster. It's just more intention.
Yeah, and it puts action to the awareness. You know what I mean? Because we can have awareness all day. I mean, we can have dreams all day, and that can be really cool, but we can also get trapped in that. And that cycle of constant dreaming, of constantly becoming aware but never moving forward.
Yeah, you know what I might do for fun is, you know, I always have notebooks with me. So every time I think a thought like I don't have time or I feel that pressure, I might just write down like I have plenty of time, like I'm escaping the matrix, like whatever it is that comes to my mind that's the opposite of that. Because writing's really powerful for me, and that might be a good way to help change it in my brain.
Because I loved what you had said before too about how you would have like these magical thoughts, like I'm eternal, I'm outside of time. Like, I mean, dude, you can end up over time like writing a whole book every time those thoughts come in and going into that magical place, because that is the one thing I'm seeing is the world is so much more fucking magical than we give it credit for. Dude, I just saw a video about how a bee sees us, and I don't know if it's actually true or not. Like, I really do, because I don't just trust everything I see, like that comes up on a reel or something. But it was like a bunch of little particles of light in the shape of a person, but like separated, so you could see a little like black darkness in it. And like when it moved, it was like the light would trail after it. And I'm like, is that really how a bee, like? We would call that an angel, you know, like a being of light. And that's how a bee sees us.
I love that.
Dude, there's so much more magic than time to go to the grocery store. I got to go to CVS, get my prescriptions, you know, got to do this. Like the everyday mundane things of life that we've just relaxed into.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's funny to me how not only is that, you know, being in touch with that magic isn't really culturally accepted, it's not taught how to do, but on top of that, it's mocked sometimes. Yes. When people are that way, like they're put down for a connection to that. And again, it's just that choice for me of like, I am not playing by the rules that other people made. I don't care if 90% of people feel this way. I don't. And giving myself permission to do that, that's hard work. Because there's a big part of me that still thinks like, just be normal, Mindy. I think my mom used to say that to me, actually, like, just be normal.
Hey, dude, but just think about it. It's not
I
like,
don't want to be normal anymore, right? Yeah.
It's so overrated. Like one of the first negative comments I got was, you're sitting in your garage in the dark smoking weed. That's not normal. It's very normal for me. I was out there until like 11 o'clock last night watching some shows or whatever, or a movie, and smoking and just feeling the breeze come in, the night breeze and everything. And it was beautiful, you know, like normal is overrated, you know. And I always go back to that thing, like the reason why the universe exists is because of the imperfections in it, you know. So there was a video I saw the other night when I couldn't sleep, which I know you're not supposed to start scrolling or anything, but it was talking about like the universe. So we have like fingers and toes and feet and legs. We have all these different appendages in which we move through life, and we're basically the appendages of the consciousness of the universe. Almost like the universe is the body, consciousness is the brain, and we are the appendages on how it experiences life. So right. If we were all the same, normal, then it would experience one facet of life.
Yeah.
But we're lucky enough to live in a time where it's becoming easier and easier to do a lot of different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we started off like hunting, gathering, moved into agriculture, got into an industry. Then we, you know, kind of lived in that bubble of fakeness, you know, that was prescribed to us from the powerful people, you know. But now with the internet and more freedoms and more ways to make money, I mean, we can do anything. We're we're making money. You have people that just travel the world and travel and put up videos and make money. You know, I mean, we have that freedom. We need to tap back into that magic and stop being so goddamn normal.
Yes, I totally agree. And I think, like you described, now more than ever is a great time in history to do it. Like, if you're listening to this podcast and you've been thinking about, do I jump? Do I not jump? Do I jump? Friggin' jump. Like, it is a good time to try to create a life that works for you.
Yeah.
Because, man, I'll tell you, I have jumped so many times in my life. And if I hadn't, I'd still be working at the grocery store where I was just going up in management, right? No, you've got to jump. You've got to be willing to risk it all.
Yeah, it's imperative. And even that idea of like risking it all, it's like, you know, really doing an audit on what you're actually risking.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, because I would say, like,
beautifully said. I absolutely agree.
90% of it is bullshit about what other people are going to see, or, oh, yes, I failed and that means I'm bad.
Yes. Yeah, I think if you do an audit, write down everything, I would say over 50% for most people are going to be about what other people think. And then when you ask yourself, okay, do I want to live my life based on what I'm imagining other people are thinking? Because you don't even know if it's true. If you answer yes to that question, that's crazy.
Yeah. 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 And then even like for me, like just think about it, I start also putting expectations. This is what I want to happen in my future, which again is just all imagination. Instead of allowing myself to flow through that river of consciousness, that river of life, and see what comes, trusting and believing that what's going to come is good, because it's going to come from my intention. You know, like the action of consciousness. And if I'm doing good and putting out all of those, the vibrations and stuff, like to me, that's where the manifestation is going to come into play. You know, but if I'm focused on the fear of what if, there's this show called Dark Matter. And it is so cool. So this dude created a box, and then you have to inject yourself with some stuff, and it puts you in a state of superposition, so that how a particle can be in an infinite number of states at the same time, you know? And so you can move into an infinite number of universes and like see yourself in that universe, you know? And so the dude that, the whole concept is like he made a decision, and now he's unhappy with it, even though he has everything he wants. He's filthy rich. He's an inventor, like great scientist, but he wants this other life. So he switches himself. But it's what it's all like intention. Like when I start focusing on that fear, because every time he would move through a door into another world, even when he sets his intention, he explained like, your experiences, your belief systems, your fears, they're all going to interact with your intention, and it's going to mess up what happens when we walk through that door. So they'll walk through a door thinking, this is right, whatever it is. And they open it, and it's like a door where like civilization has been destroyed, like nuclear war, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, and it's because that intention is so easily swayed by all of that stuff. So it's getting all of that stuff under control.
Yes.
By practicing all of this stuff, like you had said, like, that's one of the things I'm going to start doing is getting more magical. Like when I get that awareness of, okay, I'm distracting, I'm back in this bad spot or whatever, I am going to get as magical as I possibly can.
I like that. Yeah, when you say that, that feels expansive and also stretching my comfort zone. Like expansive with a little tail end of fear for me.
Yeah.
I'd be curious to practice that too and see what comes up there, because there's definitely something there for me when I think about being as, when I come up against that, I'm going to be as magical as I can. Yeah, there's something, a block there for me that says that I'm not allowed or that's silly or I'm not sure what it is. So I think that'd be a good practice for me too. Because big T truth is I want that, right? But there's also some baggage there, like you said, right? That stuff that's going to interact with it. I'm like, huh, I need to get to know what that is.
Yeah, and I think the biggest key, I think the more that you focus on the side of the magic,
Right.
faster you'll start to see what that block is. You know, like the whole idea of like I can't see the forest through the trees, like
Right.
when I'm in that fear, it's so hard to identify like
Right. But
the
if you lean
spot.
towards like the light will illuminate it, right? You lean towards what you want and it will illuminate it. Yeah, I agree with that. That's really interesting. Yeah. I love the way you were describing, like personifying that experience. What is that show on, by the way, Dark Matter?
Apple TV.
Apple. Because for me, because I'm such a visual person, actually imagining my thoughts as little people or like my inner 2-year-old and my little inner teenager, and almost like I'm playing a video game in my mind, right? Like, oh, we got to go through the shield to the next level. That might be nerdy, but that is so helpful to me to visualize what's happening in my personal growth, like video game.
Yeah, and like you
Fun.
say, like, and it's turned into like, you know, you're mocked for like, oh, that's stupid, whatever. That's weird, you know. Like, so there's a new documentary on Apple TV about the Blue Angels, and I want to watch it because dude, I didn't know when they fly, they're like 12 inches apart. Like, what the hell? Like, why? Why
Yeah.
do that? You know, like even just because you can't, like, isn't that what our parents always said? Like, just because you can doesn't mean you should. Like,
Right.
don't fly that close when you're going 800 miles an hour, you know, 30,000 feet in the air. But their last briefing before they fly, they visualize the entire flight. They hold fake controls. All of these dudes have their eyes closed, fake controls. And they're doing this, and the lead pilot is saying, okay, now we're going to bank right, and everybody does what they have to do in their plane. So you have the Blue Angels that do visualization. You have NFL quarterbacks that do visualization. You have the toughest fighters in the world that do visualization. But when it comes down to us, stupid.
Yep.
Why?
I think that's all part of that mechanism, right? To control us and keep us as robots working to feed the system. And you know, if I sound crazy when I say that, I do, but that is more and more what I believe.
Yeah, dude,
And
imagine
want
sitting in a
out of
coffee
it
shop. Yeah.
this before I even got out of bed, visualize.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, just imagine like sitting at a coffee
I
shop.
think.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, like I was just like imagine like sitting at a coffee shop and like two of me. You know, and one of me is sitting over my cappuccino, whatever, and I'm thinking like, this sucks. I'm not getting anything done. I'm not going to be successful. Right. And all that's doing is just draining me, you know? And then the other side is sitting, and I have this whole Lord of the Rings, you know, adventure going on in my head, you know, but it's all about this stuff, you know, like, all right, I got to push through this. Like you know, the eye of, so I could feel the eye of Sauron like searching for me. We got to hide, you know, I'm going to hide and, you know, and like I'm going to smoke some weed or finish my car, whatever, like that, you know, and then bring me back down into that focus again, you know, like, and one is just entertaining. It's alive. It's open. You're using your mind, you know, like the imagination, which is such a strong freaking tool. And the other is so limiting and boring and miserable. But we're like, that's stupid.
Yeah.
But I'm having a fucking blast.
Right. Yeah, I love that you said that. That was actually really helpful to me about leaning into being as magical as we can in those moments, right? Because it is the best experience, right? In the present moment, which is all we really have, that's the best experience for me.
Yeah, the other day, I forgot something was going on with my daughter. She wasn't like feeling well or something, and I get nervous, and start feeling a little anxious. And what I did was I just started like, all right, my mind wants to think about my daughter. Great, let's think about my daughter. And I started thinking like, when she was a kid, like when she was like two, she was such a small thing, so light. And Sandy told her to go wake me up. And I remember feeling something on me, but it wasn't enough to like completely pull me out of sleep. But I remember like just thinking, like, feels like something's crawling on me. And I wake. So what Sandy told her was, go wake daddy up. And if he doesn't wake up, just punch him in the face and wake him up. For Ruth, who one of her teachers in school, I think in second grade, gave her the nickname Ruthless. So she just gets this crazy smile on her face, crawls up me, and as I'm opening my eyes, all I see is her reared back like this, and she's got this face, and she's like, "Good morning!" Boom, punches me right in the nose. And Sandy's just laughing so hard, and it was like the, and I started thinking about that. Dude, it just happened again. I completely forgot I was taught. I started this off talking about the anxiety, but I was like, all right, my brain wants to think about my daughter. I was thinking about my daughter, and I thought of these amazing things about her. And within minutes, the anxiety just melted away, and I was feeling so happy.
Yeah, I think that's great. Instead of trying to fight the anxiety, you just focus on gratitude, focus on what you do want, go to the light. It seems like that's really my biggest takeaway overall from our conversation today is it doesn't matter what it is, go towards where it feels lighter and more expansive.
Yeah, like we're taking on fights that we don't need to fight.
Right. That's really, really simple, right? Go towards that, right?
Just
Because
move
everything
towards the
else
magic.
is just a thought, right? It's just a thought or past programming or, all that bullshit that's clanging around. Yeah. I'm gonna try practicing that and see how that feels and how my life is different if I regard it that way.
Dude, I'm interested. I'm gonna try to find that Alan Watts video and send it to you, because I want to see if you try that listening thing, like see.
Yeah, I would love that. I love meditating, and sometimes I do guided meditation. Sometimes I do the bowls. I don't know if you ever li listen to singing bowls.
Oh,
Oh, it's
yeah.
like, 'cause like you can almost feel like the cycle of it. So I put really good headphones on, really loud, and then I feel like I can access those higher, like more theta brain waves fairly easily, and it just feels good.
Oh my God, yeah.
But that's one of those things that I don't allow myself very much because I don't have time for it, and it's frivolous, and it's right. So that's what I'm saying. If I just go towards what feels open and good and light, and everything else, I go no thoughts. All of that's just junk. I'm going towards what feels good. Then I would be giving myself permission to do that more. And this is the way that the world is funny. That could be the thing. Meditating an hour a day could be the thing for success, right? And this whole time I've been avoiding it because I think it's a waste of time. Like, you don't have to do work, right?
If imagine like if you're flexible enough to give up 1 hour for something that you that feels good, that I know is going to help me out, and imagine and getting and just flushing those thoughts of like, I don't have time. You know, just say, well, screw it. Instead of doing 4 hours worth of work, I'll do three. But you know, I'm doing this meditation, whatever. You know, if I've distracted myself, whatever. And how funny it would be if then everything turned around and like now I'm working more than ever and like, you know, more things are coming my way and stuff like that. Like, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that is what I want to believe right now is the world doesn't work the way I think it does. There's a whole nother way. And I believe it enough to give it a try and
Yeah.
see what it's like on the other side.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, why not?
Yeah. I mean, this is our one lifetime, right? I've certainly would be regretful on my deathbed if I didn't try to live fully into the magic of the human experience,
Yes.
whatever that looks like.
Yep.
That feels good.
Feels real good, man.
Yeah, that feels awesome. All right, that was perfect timing. Anything else you want to say before I stop the recording?
No, I th that was real, like, yeah, that was good.
Good. Very complete. Thanks for joining us, everybody.
Thank you so much for joining us. We are so grateful for all of our listeners. Please support us in doing what we love. It's as simple as hitting that like or subscribe button. It would really mean a lot to us. Thanks, guys, and we'll see you next week.